African pastor had come to the United States to study. And one evening, as he was talking with his friends, he was asked by another student to comment on Christianity as he was experiencing it in the United States. He replied, "I consider it odd that more people in the United States worship on Mother's Day than on Good Friday." When I first heard this, it occurred to me that this assessment of Christianity in America was distressing, if not indicting. Now, don't get me wrong, I love my mom, and I value the powerful hold of family and family relationships in our society. But I believe that the pastor's words betray a tendency of American Christianity that is often difficult to shake, if not difficult to face. A study from the Pew Research Institute from 2016 says the following. The share of adults in the U.S. who say that they believe in God, while still remarkably high in comparison to other advanced industrial countries, has declined modestly. It is now below 90%. The share of Americans who say that they are absolutely certain that God exists has dropped more sharply, below 65%, 63% to be exact. The percentages who say that they pray every day, attend religious services regularly, and consider their religion to be very important to their lives have also ticked down by statistically significant margins. The fall off in traditional religious beliefs and practices coincides with changes in the religious composition of the United States. A growing share of Americans are religiously unaffiliated. Some who self-identify as atheist or agnostic, as well as many who describe their religion as nothing in particular. Altogether, the religiously unaffiliated have been given a name. Ironically, they're called the nuns. Not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S, the nuns. And they now account for, if you can believe it, almost one quarter of the adult population in the United States, 23%. There is a very real loss of relevancy occurring in American Christianity. Not a relevancy of the gospel, mind you, but of the church. In a very real way, I believe we are better able now to identify with the early church. And this offers us an opportunity. You see, I am genuinely energized that the world of American Christianity is changing. We are being called not to do what we have always done, no more. No, we are being called to do those things that matter. In these United States, we are called to live into the things that matter, and to do so, we are called to re-embrace, I believe, the meaning and the power of Good Friday. You see, a Christianity without the cross, without struggle, a Christianity without difficulty, without pain, is at best, incomplete. A Christianity that does not acknowledge Good Friday, that does not have the integrity of acknowledging that difficulty and pain and struggle and doubt, all expressed in Good Friday, in Jesus' experience of Good Friday, is a part of our faith. Well, friends, I don't believe that's a faith that can stand the test of life. Christianity, really, at its core, is about these 3 days, and really, it's about these last couple. It's about a cross and an empty tomb. All else is really spiritual gravy on the meat and potatoes of Calvary and Easter morning. You know, in our United States, in our affluency, if you will, we don't like or even desire pain, do we? We will do whatever we can to minimize pain and suffering and uncertainty and struggle. And in doing that in all other parts of our lives, is it any wonder that perhaps it has seeped into our faith as well? And I wonder if we want a Christianity without the cross. We want the joy of Christmas. We want to sing of that silent night. We want the beauty of Easter and sing, "Thine is the glory." And I wonder if what we want is just something that's easily digestible. A spiritual guidebook of right behavior so that we can go on living our pain-free lives. The reality is, as much as we try to do that, we fail. We fail because life intervenes. And we realize that not only do we need the cross, but we really live more often than we like to admit, cross-bearing lives. The cross is countercultural, to be sure. It is selfless. It is a reminder of a willingness to do the difficult things for those whom we love. That is what we see in Jesus on the cross. To be sure, make no mistake, we are Easter people. We're the people of the risen Lord, girded in our lives by the promise of new life and hope forever. Yet, to live that with any kind of honesty and integrity, we need the cross. Because the cross provides a realization that life, as much as we try to mitigate the pain and the suffering and the hurt away, the cross reminds us that life is not always beautiful, and many times it is unjust. The cross is a faith-inspired visual that ours is the God who is willing to face that with us, who is willing to step into the midst of our brokenness and our pain and our shame and our sin and our frustrations and in the midst of our doubt and especially our fear and says to you and me, "Do not be afraid." Ours is a God who is unafraid of our pain and our doubt and our sin. Indeed, ours is a God unafraid of our fear. Even when our fear can overwhelm us and fear can hold sway in our lives, our Lord comes into our world and on that cross reminds us that fear will be overcome. For the day of the cross becomes the day of the empty tomb. Or as I heard it powerfully proclaimed one time by an African-American pastor, "Friday's here, but Sunday's coming." Friday is here. The cross is here. And the cross of Good Friday is here in many ways in your lives right now. Yet in faith, you can trust that whatever Good Friday moments you are experiencing right now, they are but part of the story. The cross is an acknowledgement of life as it can be, as it oftentimes is, filled with heartbreak and sadness and uncertainty and doubt and shame and fear. But the empty tomb that follows on its heels is a hope-filled trust that God mends broken hearts, that God takes our sadness and turns it into joy, that God takes away our shame and our doubt and gives us promise and purpose and peace. Later in our worship, we will sing the song, "Were You There?" Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. You know what it's like to tremble. You know what it's like to experience a cross. You have witnessed and you have experienced pain and suffering and loss. You have experienced and witnessed betrayal, scorn, and death. You have experienced the cross. Yet so has Jesus. For you, but just as powerfully with you. For whatever cross you are bearing tonight, it is not, and it never will be your cross alone. It is foremost and always His. Accepted for you at Calvary and accepted with you again and again and again, whenever and wherever you may experience a cross in your life. And with that promise, with His promise to be there with you in the crosses and the Good Friday moments of your lives, you will receive the strength to carry that cross. And with Him, you will receive the hope and the promise that your cross is not the end of your story either. In Jesus' name, amen.